This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Hollywood loves to bring us stories of good friendships and happy endings. And you could view The Best of Enemies that way. It's a film that tells the story of civil rights advocate Ann Atwater and Ku Klux Klan leader C.P. Ellis. They gained respect for one another, even as they argued opposite sides of the school integration debate in Durham. But that unlikely friendship is just the hook. The Best of Enemies is really an examination of the complex constructions of race and class in Southern society, issues that continue to affect us today. The new film is an adaptation of the book The Best of Enemies, Race and Redemption in the New South. Osher Gray Davidson is the author, and he joins me now. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thanks very much. It's great being back.
First of all, congratulations on this book becoming a Hollywood film.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a long, long process, but it's happened.
It's happened, and it happened in a way that we hope you're happy with. We'll talk about your reflections on the film, because I know you've seen it. But let's talk about the story first.
Okay.
Remind us of what the story is.
Well, as you said earlier in setting this up, it's a complex story. There's a surface story that is amazing enough in itself of two people at seemingly opposite ends of the spectrum overcoming that. The head of the Klan and a black community organizer, a woman, and the Klan guy, probably, obviously, I hope, a man, being able to come together and become lifelong friends. Well, you know, that's so improbable. It's right. So unlikely. But it's so much more than just that, because it's the context that allowed that to happen. And what interested me in the story was, beneath this whole idea of the friendship, was how did C.P. Ellis, the Klan leader, how did he come to believe what he believed, so that then he could move away from that?
Yeah.
And that's this whole stew of class, race, identity, gender, that's really complex, but it's so important. It's critical in understanding not only the problems that we have, but also the solutions to those right. problems, to the extent that we can act on those.
Now, the context was 1971. The city of Durham, like many other cities really across the nation, but certainly in the South, grappling with how to execute a 1954 court order, really to integrate the schools, clashes over race and class. It was not happening in the city of Durham. And Ann Atwater, as you say, is someone who is an activist for racial justice. I'm going to play a clip from the film that talks about the normal process that most cities would go through. You'd go through the city council or the school board. They would try to negotiate these things and then see if they could come break the impasse. So here's a clip from the movie. Taraji Henson is playing the role of a very determined Ann Atwater in the film The Best of Enemies.
Mr. Atkins, we done writing letters here. We want to be heard before tomorrow night's ruling.
Ms. Atwater, you know our agenda is tight, and we simply cannot allot time to everybody that wants to speak. Now, thank you. Show yourselves out. Mr. Tucker, to what do I owe this pleasure?
Sit down.
Well, in a mighty fine afternoon to you.
Now, you listen to me, Councilman, and you too, Mr. Tucker. We ain't going nowhere until we get down to the brass tacks. You understand me?
Everything all right here, Bill?
Mr. Odom, now we have been sitting here for over half an hour, and the councilman here ain't done nothing but...
Ann, we're going to give you your chance to speak tomorrow night. Are we good now?
Not yet.
That's a clip from the film The Best of Enemies, based on the book by my guest, Osher Gray Davidson. Yes, that was a telephone she hit him with. But talk about this, because it goes on from there. It's not resolved through the normal political machinery. Something called a charrette is organized in the city of Durham to try to resolve this, and that's where C.P. Ellis and Ann Atwater are together. Talk about the charrette process that these two entered into.
Sure. Well, they knew each other long before the charrette. And they hated each other, and at different times, each one had tried to kill the other one. So they knew who they were, who each other was, but only from a distance, obviously, close enough to kill. But, well, in Anne's case, with a knife. But she was held back by other people, thankfully, who explained to her, this is what they want. They're going to put you away in jail, and you won't be able to be a community organizer if you kill him. So, well, the charrette process was this amazing process where it's a 10-day period. This was set up by Bill Riddick, who lives, I think he still lived back then in Raleigh. But he was, he didn't invent the process, but he really refined the process where it's for bringing people together to solve problems over, like, I don't know how many hours a day, 8 to 10 hours a day, 10 days in a row. And it has to be people who have, their voices are from all parts of this necessary discussion. So a lot of it's arguing, a lot of it's yelling, like they say in the movie. That is the process, though.
And we're going to put you together in this room until you solve the problem. And we know you don't like each other, and that's the point.
Right. And also, it doesn't make any difference whether you like each other or not.
What you say in the process. That there is no politically correct language, as we learned in the process, right?
Right.
I mean, people are calling each other exactly what they think of each other.
Right.
And in the end of this process, C.P. Ellis and Anne Atwater become the nominal leaders of a process that actually comes to some resolution.
Right. Now, and that, again, was due to Bill Riddick. None of this would have happened without Bill Riddick, in part because he got that wild idea of making Anne and CP the co-chairs of this charrette. And I have to say, the one thing that I love about the movie is that as serious as this is, the movie has so much humor in it. And people were laughing throughout the screening that I saw. And there's a lot of humor, and I think Robin uses it kind of like Shakespeare used it to relieve tension so that then we can ratchet up the tension again.
Robin Bissell, the director.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah, of this film. And, you know, he talked about, I want to hear what you thought about the film, but just a little bit more about this process, because not only did they, both very serious and both very dedicated to their positions, a Klan leader and a civil rights activist, not only did they find some resolution to a very difficult problem that other cities have still not figured out, they became friends. They became very good friends.
Oh, absolutely. Durham is still wrestling with this. It's not like this was a magic result. There was a magic result at the end of this, but it was a step along the way of a process that needs to continue. And Durham is no different from any other city that has both white and non-white populations to a significant extent. So I didn't want to demonize Durham or glamorize Durham,
right.
And neither did Robin.
No, and it's a complicated process, and it was then. There were other leaders within black communities and white communities who were not going along. Just because Anne and CP agreed didn't mean everybody in their communities did and everybody in their camps, right?
Right, and that's another part of this story that is important, of the class stratification on both sides of the racial divide. Anne was not fond of what she called the big Negroes, because they were not working to help her and her people, meaning poor people. So when people call her a civil rights leader, I don't believe she ever used that term with me, although I've heard her on tape saying that. She always called herself a community organizer, because civil rights are just a recognition of the right of citizens of whatever color, of any ethnic identity, anything, to public accommodations, essentially, education. But a community organizer goes way beyond civil rights, and it goes to any issues of poverty, in particular, was Anne's main one. And she started out as a community organizer for black communities. And she became, like Martin Luther King did, an organizer for whoever needed help. Yeah. And in this case, it was CP who needed her help.
This
and
was
understanding.
This is a remarkable part of this because Anne understood this as a class problem, and because she understood that there were wealthy people even within her community who might want to keep their distance rather than jeopardize what they had already achieved. She was able to explain to CP what was happening to him, right? That he was a victim of this the same as she was.
Right, and that's a great moment in the movie, and they did a good job of portraying it, that Sam Rockwell, who plays CP in the movie, does an excellent job of showing CP, even before Anne got to him, showing CP trying to figure out what's going on, because the world was not as it was explained to him, as he was steeped in the mythology, the American mythology, a classless society of a democratic nation. And he knew that these things weren't exactly true, but he wasn't exactly, he saw them impacting his life, keeping him down, but he didn't know what they were. And so Sam does a great job of just shifting his eyes, communicating like, this is not what it's supposed to be.
That's right. And of course, the tragedy of it then, 1971, 1871, and 2019, is that people in that situation who feel something coming out from under them can easily be persuaded that it is a minority, that it's somebody weaker. And we're seeing that today, people who are voting for racists and doing it because they don't quite understand that they're part of a system that's victimizing them as well.
So, well, poor whites like CP were used as a buffer by the elite whites, the wealthy whites in Durham and elsewhere, were demonized and used as a buffer between the wealthy whites and the black community in general, but also just to, as a place to plant racism, that, okay, we're not the racists, it's those poor white trash, a phrase I hate, because it's, trash is something you throw away.
Right.
And the reason I hate it is that is what happened.
Yeah.
They threw away the lives of CP's father died at 48 from brown lung from working at the textile mill here. So, that's an important part of the story of how CP was part of a buffer and didn't know it. And what Anne did was help him pull together all those moments where he's rolling his eyes and trying to figure things out, helped him realize that, look, CP, you're not in control any more than I am. You're poor, just like I am. There's no difference in those things. I mean, there was a lot of difference in the consequences of having, CP learned early on that as poor as he was and as hard as things were for him and for his family, he was not black. There was always somebody, a whole group of people who were worse off than him. CP was protected by white privilege to just a small extent for him, but it's a huge step. He was not going to be lynched if he looked at a white woman wrong, other than his wife. So it's a life and death issue, but he sure did not have very much, and he was told that it was all blacks to blame for it, and he saw Anne as the personification of the cause of all of his problems.
So now your book, a Hollywood movie, and it's a big Hollywood movie. Taraji P. Henson is playing Anne Atwater, and here she is being interviewed about her role. She's at the Durham red carpet premiere of The Best of Enemies.
It just keeps me motivated to tell important, impactful stories. These are the stories that I gravitate towards because they transform me as an artist. And if I'm transformed, that means the audience will be transformed in some way, hopefully for the best. It just makes me want to do more projects like this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Taraji P. Henson being interviewed during the Durham red carpet premiere of The Best of Enemies. My guest is the author of the book, Osher Gray Davidson, who is the author of the book on which the movie is based. You've seen the film, and we've talked about the complexity of this and the issues of class, race, gender, all of which flow through here. Hollywood not always great at projecting all of those complexities. How do you feel about the film?
Oh, my God. I love it. I have to say, I know a lot of authors are disappointed with how the movie version of their books come out, and I think rightly so. I think Hollywood deserves its poor reputation mm-hmm. for a lot of things. But because this director, screenwriter, Robin Missel, did this movie, he got it. And he and I had talked over the years about issues of class and race. And so he got it. The movie itself is a different format from a book. So some people are not going to like the movie who did like the book, and there are people who didn't like the book who are going to like the movie. It's just, you know, a different way of taking in information. But Robin had only a couple of hours to get all of this across, and to read the book takes a lot longer than that. So he does it with images much more than dialogue. And he sacrifices nothing of the heart of the story, the essence of class, race, gender, the intersection of these things, and of people coming together to take on structural racism. That's not just about bias, it's structural racism. So, no, I couldn't be happier with the movie.
You know, it's interesting. All of those complexities are involved, and yet it does revolve in some ways around two people. Although, again, if you lose the context, then you end up with a very shallow story. You don't, but there are two people involved in here. And it's interesting because we have a clip of Ann Atwater's granddaughter, Ann Nakia Green, who's talking about her grandmother and the relationship between her grandmother and C.P. Ellis, something that she was able to witness firsthand.
They never missed a beat. And sometimes it's almost as if they could finish each other's sentences. They were very passionate in what they did. And they really, 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 they weren't just friends. They became brother and sister.
Ann Nakia Green, Ann Atwater's granddaughter, speaking at the Durham red carpet premiere of The Best of Enemies. My guest is Osha Gray Davidson, who wrote the book on which the movie is based. So I guess the good news and the bad news about your story, the book, and the movie is that all you need is love. And the good news is that's not much. And the bad news is it's very hard for us to get to that place. Because remember, what they didn't do was tweet about their problem, right? What they did was get in the room together and endure the insult. And there's the famous moment when CP is saying, I'm not going to talk to that Ann. And she says, I'm not going to talk to that C cracker. And they're like, wow, here we go, right? And yeah. They went. And that was it. They walked toward the gunfire.
Right, right. Good point. And there's this a discussion that seems to revolve around the idea that if people of different backgrounds, especially when it comes to race, if black people and white people will just sit and talk with each other, that'll solve the problem. And that's not the way the world works, and in that makes me angry whenever I hear that as, oh, if we just do that. For one thing, it's the context that the talk takes place in that's crucial. Just going out to dinner with somebody of a different race is not going to make any change. Nothing that's crucial to eliminating structural racism in this country. With Ann and CP, as you pointed out, this was a 10-day process where they were together every day, almost all day for those 10 days. This wasn't, and importantly, there was a focus to the conversation. It was not, hi, so do you like to go fishing? You know, it was about how do we bring about a better situation for our children in the schools? And when you have a focus like that, then dialogue is important if it leads to action. But it's more likely to lead to action if you have a focus like that, because it's focused on taking action.
Osha Gray Davidson is the author of The Best of Enemies, Race and Redemption in the New South. That book has been turned into a feature film starring Taraji P. Henson and Sam Rockwell. Osha, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's good talking with you, Frank. Thank you.
You can find out more about the book and the movie at our website, stateofthings.org. There's more of our program just ahead. Stay tuned.